today is the lion's den. The lion's den. Now, I do this for several reasons. Our subject is the lion's den. Our scripture is Daniel 6, the sixth chapter of Daniel. Now, I do this for several reasons. First of all, it'll be easy for you to remember the title of this message, the lion's den. In the event that you want to order it, to listen to it again, and to share it with someone else. Secondly, the scripture from which this is taken is familiar to all of you. I don't know of anybody listening to this program that hasn't heard or read about Daniel in the lion's den. Everybody has. So I want you to turn to Daniel chapter 6, and let's look at the lion's den. Now, this entire chapter, I looked at this carefully again this morning, this entire chapter of 28 verses, the whole chapter, 28 verses, is given over to the story of God's servant Daniel's experience regarding the den of lions. From verse 1 through verse 28 is all about Daniel and the lion's den. Now, why do you suppose that so much of the scripture, the Bible's not that big a book, and why do you suppose that so much of the scripture is devoted to this experience, Daniel and the lion's den? It could be told in three verses. Daniel offended the king, and the king cast Daniel in the lion's den, and God delivered him. It could be told in two or three sentences. Why did it take 28 verses? Why is so much scripture dedicated to this story of Daniel in the lion's den? Well, one thing. This chapter reveals the faithfulness of God's servant, Daniel. He was a faithful servant of God. He believed God, and he would not worship idols, even if it cost his life. Daniel was faithful to God. He believed God, and he would not bow to an idol, even if it cost him his life. Now, that is told in this scripture. Secondly, this chapter also shows how a true believer can occupy a place of leadership. Daniel was a prominent leader in this country of Babylon. In a world of business, in a world of unbelievers, in a world of idolaters, and yet Daniel, in the midst of all this darkness, did not compromise his faith and did not compromise his convictions and his principles. It can be done. It can be done. Somebody said, well, if a man's not a crook before he goes into office, he will be after he goes into office. That doesn't have to be so. Not if he really knows God. Daniel held the highest office in the land under the king and remained firm and true to his convictions. He walked among people that didn't know God, and yet he believed. Thirdly, this chapter reveals the power of God. The power of God to deliver his people from the most difficult trial, the most difficult, impossible situation. God can literally stop the mouth of lions. He's able. I like what the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that's another story with which you're familiar. I like what they said to the king who cast them into the furnace of fire. They said, he said, is your God able to deliver you? They said, he's able. He's able. But if he doesn't, he's still God. And we're not going to worship your idols. He's able to deliver us, but if he doesn't, he's still God. But you know the main reason that all 28 verses in this chapter, Daniel chapter 6, the main reason for this story's prominent place in the scriptures is to reveal, listen, not just Daniel's faithfulness, and not just his principles and conviction in the face of compromise, and not just God's power to deliver us out of trials and troubles, but this scripture is in the Bible to reveal how God Almighty can be a just God, a holy God, and justify you and me who are guilty sinners. How God can be just and justify you and me. In other words, this scripture is all about the Lord Jesus Christ, our substitute. You mean you can preach Christ from Daniel 6? Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I intend to. in the book of Acts, it says, to him give all the prophets witness. Our Lord told the Pharisees, he said, you search the Scriptures, because in them you think you have life, but they are they which testify of me. This is all about Christ. I'm going to show you this very day the gospel of Christ in this story of Daniel's deliverance from the lion's den. Now, here's the story. We've got to have the whole story. Got to have the whole story. See, Daniel was a man of God who was in captivity in Babylon. And Daniel, by the power of God, had interpreted dreams for several kings. You remember Daniel chapter 4? He interpreted the dream of Nebuchadnezzar and told him how that God would turn him out to pasture like an animal, and his hair would grow long like feathers on a bird, and his claws would grow long, and he'd lose his senses and his reasoning, and seven times would pass over him till he knew that God reigned in heaven among the inhabitants of the earth and the armies of heaven, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. See, Nebuchadnezzar had bragged about how he built great Babylon, how powerful he was, and God said, I'll put you out to pasture till you learn that I'm God and everything you have depends on me and my will. And Daniel interpreted the dream, and it came to pass. And then after Nebuchadnezzar was dead, another king arose in Babylon called Belshazzar. And you remember how he was having that feast and party and drunken brawl, and he sent somebody down to get the vessels from the temple of God, and he and his cohorts drank wine out of the holy vessels, and the fingers of a man's hand appeared over on the wall writing, and the king's knees smote together, and he was afraid, and he cried for all of his astrologers and soothsayers and wise men, and they couldn't figure out what it was, and he called for Daniel. And Daniel came and he said, I'll read it. Mene, tekel, uphosen. O king, you're weighed in the balances and found wanting. And this night your kingdom will be taken from you and given over to the Medes and Persians. And that night he died. And another king took over. His name was Darius, King Darius. And Daniel was well thought of. He was a man this king admired greatly, respected and admired greatly. Daniel was held in high esteem. So Darius, the king, he selected 120 senators, princes, to reign over his kingdom, 120 prominent men. And over these 120 men, he put three presidents. There were 120 rulers and three presidents. And over the presidents, he made Daniel number one. Number one president over all of them. Daniel was second to the king in all of Babylon. This man of God, this child of God, this servant of the Lord in captivity. Well, these other fellows, these 120, they became envious and jealous of Daniel. You read it there in chapter 6. Because of the king's preference, he preferred Daniel. And because of Daniel's ability, wisdom. So they tried to find a way that they could discredit him. They tried to find a way that they could discredit Daniel before the king. But they couldn't find a flaw in his character. They couldn't find a flaw in any way he did business or conducted himself. They couldn't find a single flaw. So in verse 5, now watch this, Daniel 6, verse 5, they got together and they said, we're not going to find anything wrong with this fella. We're not going to find any way to discredit him before the king unless we find it against him concerning his God. Concerning his God. You see, Babylon was a pagan country. And the people from the king on down were idolatrous people. And Daniel was a believer. Daniel was different. We used to talk as kids. They used to tell us, dare to be a Daniel. Dare to be different. He was different. And they said, now, if we're going to find any flaw, anything wrong with this fellow, if we're going to discredit him, it's going to have to be concerning his God. So they look at verse 6 through 9 of Daniel 6 and read it. These fellows got together, all of them, 120 princes and two presidents, and they came to the king, and this is what they said. They said, O king, King Darius, We want to honor you. Now, what they're trying to do is get Daniel. They're envious and jealous of Daniel. They want to discredit him. They want him out of the kingdom, out of the way. So they're using the king. They said, O king, we wish to honor you. So we have established a royal decree. We've come up with this idea. We want you to sign it into law. A royal decree, a statute. We want you to sign into law that for 30 days, no person in the entire kingdom, no person, man or woman, shall ask a petition of any god or of any man except you. Now, if he does, if anybody prays to a god or asks a petition of any man or god except you, he's to be cast into the den of lions. He's to go into the lion's den. The hungry lions can devour. Well, did you know that? That's the way that came about. The king was flattered. A very foolish man. He was very flattered. Not suspecting what these fellows were doing, not suspecting that they were after Daniel, so he signed the decree. He signed this into law that for 30 days, if anybody in the kingdom asked a petition of any man or any god, except the king, King Darius, he'd be cast in the lion's den. And this law was the law of the Medes and Persians that could not be changed, could not be altered. Well, look at verse 10. These fellows knew they had Daniel. They knew they had him. Because Daniel, the scripture says in verse 10, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day with his windows open towards Jerusalem. And he prayed. Scripture says he kneeled 3 times a day. He prayed. He worshiped God. With the windows open, he gave thanks to God. Well, these fellows were waiting. And when they found him praying, they came running to the king. And they said, O king, Daniel is breaking the law. You signed into law a law that cannot be altered, that if any man prayed or ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, he'd be cast into the lion's den. Didn't you say that? And it's a law that cannot be changed. We say Daniel goes to the lion's den. Well, verse 14 says the king was so displeased with himself, he realized what he had done. And the king set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. He didn't want to put him in the lion's den. It says that he labored to the going down of the sun to set Daniel free. He walked the floor. The law says Daniel must die. The law is the law that cannot be changed. The law was signed by the king's own hand. If he doesn't carry out his law, he'll lose his kingdom. He'll lose all his support. He'll lose all the people because he's made a law. His other laws won't be worth anything. And he labored to the going down of the sun. He stayed awake all night, the scripture says. He wouldn't listen to his musicians. But he found no way to deliver Daniel. So he sent Daniel to the lion's den. And we know that God sent an angel down and closed the mouth of the lions, and they didn't harm Daniel. And when the king came down to the lion's den the next morning, Daniel was still walking around in there, and the lions was lying around like shepherd dogs at his feet. And the old king took all these wicked fellows and cast them into the den of lions with all their families. But what you see here is the gospel of substitution. This is the gospel of Christ in this story. Now, let me show it to you. Listen to it. Almighty God is king, and Almighty God has a law which he has put into effect over his universe, over his kingdom. And his law cannot be changed. God's law is a revelation of much of God's character, at least his justice and holiness and righteousness. And he has a law. It says this, Thou shalt have no other God before me. And we have. Unfortunately, through our lives, we've been subject to a lot of different gods. That's right. Idols. He says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image of any likeness of anything in heaven or earth, nor bow down to them. But we have. Some of us love our children more than we love God. Love our luxuries and riches more than they love God. Men lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. That's an idol. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. But we have. That's a law. That's God's law. You'll not use my name in any way that's not respectful and reverent and ascribing to me all holiness. But we have. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Christ said to hate in your hearts, to be guilty of murder already. You're hating anybody in your life? We've broken God's law. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Christ said to the very look of lust is to commit adultery in your heart. The desire in the sight of God is as bad as that. Thou shalt not steal. Taking anything that's not ours or doesn't belong to us or rightfully ours, or even desiring things that are not ours. Thou shalt not lie, bear false witness, exaggerate. We have. Thou shalt not covet. What the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty, guilty, guilty before God. What was it that our vice president years ago, Spiro Agnew, said? No low contender. They found him guilty, and he said, no contest. No contest. And I'll tell you, when we look at God's law, God has established the law of heaven and earth. Not the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be altered. The law of heaven and earth that cannot be altered. And I'll tell you this. Here's the lion's den. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do it. We're under the curse. Daniel broke the king's law. It was a bad law. It was a foolish law. But it was his law. And he promised to put the man in the lion's den that broke his law, and it has to be done. And God Almighty has a law, a good law, a holy law, a righteous law, a godly law. And we've broken it. We've sinned deliberately and willfully broken God's law and do break them. And he said, the soul that sinneth, it'll die. God will by no means clear the guilty. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. But the only difference is old King Darius labored till the going down of the sun to deliver Daniel and couldn't do it. But God can deliver us. King Darius found no way to save his friend, but God Almighty knows a way to save his friend. He can save us, he can deliver us, and at the same time honor his law, satisfy his justice, and fulfill every requirement. Because the Scripture says, deliver him from going down into the pit, into the den of lions. I've found a ransom. I've found a ransom. Wouldn't old Darius have liked to come out of the palace after laboring to the going down of the sun and say, hold it, hold it, don't throw Daniel in the lion's den. I've found a ransom. Couldn't do it. Daniel sinned and Daniel had to pay. You and I have sinned and we got to pay. But we pay in the person of our substitute. The Lord Jesus became one with us. He was numbered with the transgressors. Listen, Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. By the disobedience of Adam, we were made sinners. That's representation. By the obedience of Christ, we were made righteous. God, it says in Romans 3, set forth His Son to be a substitute, to be a representative, to be a surety, to be a propitiation, a substitute, a redeemer through faith in His blood, faith in His sacrifice to declare God's righteousness. King Darius must fulfill his law. He's got to punish the offender if he's going to stay king. They'd ride him out on a rail. He signed a law. He's got to put Daniel in the lion's den. There's no way around it. God is God. God is king. God is just. God's got to punish sin. And what he did is he sent Christ down here to take our place. and to take our guilt and take our sin. And he did punish him. Christ died on the cross, not as a picture, but he died as a substitute. He didn't die as a reformer. He died as a substitute. He didn't die as an example. He died as a substitute. He bore our sins in his body on the tree and paid for them, all the debt we owe. He paid the debt. Now, God can set you and me free because our sin debt is paid. We have a righteousness. So if a man were to ask me, "Preacher, am I delivered from condemnation? Am I a child of God? Do I have a hope of eternal life?" Well, I'll let you answer that. Why don't I just let you answer? You're asking me what I think? Do I think that you're saved, or somebody else who claims to be a Christian, claims to be a child of God, claims to have a home in heaven? Am I saved? Am I a child of God? Am I a child of God? Do I have a hope in heaven? Well, let me ask you, are you perfect? No, I'm not perfect. But God requires perfection. He can be satisfied with nothing less. To be accepted, it must be perfect. If you're not perfect, I ask you this. Then do you have one who is perfect who will stand for you? Huh? If you're not perfect, if you have one who will stand for you, Scripture says there's one God and one mediator between God and me and the man Christ Jesus. If you have an advocate, if any man sin, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. If you have one to stand for you who is perfect, then you've got a good hope. God will receive you on the basis of his perfection, his righteousness. See that? If you and him are one. I'll ask you a second question. You say you're not perfect. All right, do you have one who is to stand for you? Secondly, do you have a perfect righteousness before the law? Have you kept the law? Well, preacher, no. Then do you have someone who has kept the law who will stand for you? Someone who has a perfect righteousness? Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. I have a hope of eternal life because he stands for me as my mediator. He stands for me as my righteousness. They asked old John Jasper, said, "You going to heaven?" He said, "Yes." They said, "What if you get up there and they ask you, what right have you got to be here? What are you going to say?" He's going to say, "I've got no right at all to be here. I'm not here on my rights. I'm here on the righteousness of Christ. He's my representative." Thirdly, let me ask you this question. Will God hear you when you present your case? Scripture says that those who sin were speechless. Are you going to do the talking? You think you've got God's ear? Really, the God of glory, you believe he'll hear you? No. Then do you have one whom he will hear, who will intercede for you? Paul said, "Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who ever lives to make intercession for us." And Christ said, "The Father always hears me." I got a hope. I don't hope God will hear me, but I hope God will hear Christ, and he intercedes for me. Let me ask you again. You say, "Do I have a hope?" Well, I ask you this. Do you have a suitable sacrifice for sin with which God is pleased? The Scripture says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Where's your blood? It's the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. If you're going to intercede for yourself, and if you're going to represent yourself, and you're going to come before God as your own priest, where's your offering? Where's your sacrifice? Even Christ, the man, had to have somewhat to offer. And the Scripture says, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. And by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." He laid down his life. He shed his blood. I have a hope of eternal life because there's a high priest at the right hand of God who gives his blood, who has his blood as a sacrifice for sin. Now, the fifth question, this is the last one. Psalm 24 says, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord?" That's what we're asking. Am I going to heaven? Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands. Is that you? Nope. He that hath a pure heart. Is that you? Nope. He that's never lifted his soul to vanity. That me and you? Nope. One who's never spoken a lie. Never spoken a lie. Is that you and me? No. Well, I tell you, it's Jesus Christ, though. That's who it is. He hath clean hands and a pure heart, never lifted his soul to vanity, and never sworn deceitfully. He's the perfect one. So, a man who's in Christ got a good hope. A man who has a mediator, Jesus Christ, is a good hope. And the king's law can't touch him. The lion's den can't hold him, because Christ goes there in his place, and he's set free.